and seeking the Lord's help, we would seek to consider the words that we read together in Psalm 26 in the book of Psalms. Psalm 26. And we may read just now at verse 9. At verse 9. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregations will I bless the Lord. And we may consider particularly the words in verse 9, at the beginning of the verse, gather not my soul with sinners. Gather not my soul with sinners. The psalm here, the psalm of David, it contains marks of grace in every single verse except verse 10. And the psalmist is pleading to the Lord to justify him in his integrity and his innocency from charges that his enemies were laying to his account. And these matters are very exceedingly serious and solemn. And he's not saying of himself that he is perfect, but he is vindicating that he has walked in the Lord's ways. I have walked in thy truth. Thy loving kindness is before mine eyes. He's not a hypocrite. He's not an evildoer in the sense that he was being accused. And his desire is to continue to walk in the ways of the Lord. I will walk, in verse 11, at the end of the psalm, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. That was the end of that he had in mind. That was the desire he had, that the Lord would search him out, that the Lord would examine him, that the Lord would preserve him, that the Lord would keep him among his worshipping people. What precious things he says here of the house of God, the habitation of thine house. O Lord, I have loved well. Yea, that in that place I do delight, where doth mine honour dwell, thine honour dwell. And he draws a distinction between his own desires, that the Lord would justify him and vindicate him, the Lord would keep him among his worshipping people, the Lord would lead him on safely in the way of truth and in the way of integrity. And he draws a distinction that is as sharp and solemn as can be imagined between what he desires for himself and what he sees among the wicked. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. And you see, where there is what we might call a negative mark of grace, where the psalmist or the people of God are speaking of what they abhor, what they do not wish for themselves or others, on the other hand of that, on the other side of that, there's a positive evidence of grace if he is saying on the one hand he's hated the congregation of evildoers, on the other hand, in verse 8, he's saying, I have loved the habitation of thy house. And if you are saying in your heart that you have a desire to hate sin and to abhor yourself on account of your sin, ah, well, dear friend, that's an evidence of a love to holiness. Where there's a negative mark of grace, there will be a positive. And that's perfect in Christ. It's not perfect in any of the Lord's people in this world, but it's perfect in Christ. You read it there in Psalm 45 concerning Christ. I have loved holiness. He has loved righteousness. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. And that was absolutely perfect in Christ. Grace was, his mouth was his full store of grace. And therefore he hated sin. And that's what the psalmist has in measure here. And that's what the Lord's people have in measure in this life. Where they abhor sin, where they abhor themselves for sin, where they're grieved on account of the sin of others, it's an evidence of a love to holiness. It's an evidence of faith and the life of faith and grace in exercise in them. This is what they can say in some measure, what the psalmist had in his heart here. And as he expresses it in Psalm 119, rivers of waters from mine eyes did flow down when I saw how wicked men run on in sin and do not keep thy law. I have hated the congregation of evildoers, he says, because he loves the habitation of the Lord's house. And that's a mark of love to the Lord of the house and to the people of the Lord. Well then, verse 9, gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men. He's speaking of a desire not to be numbered among the wicked. And we would desire to speak of that desire, as the Lord would help us for a little. The desire not to be numbered among the wicked. Gather not my soul with sinners. And then we would desire to come on to speak of the corresponding desire. It's not expressed in words here, but it breathes through the whole psalm of a desire to be gathered to Christ and to his people. If you have a desire not to be gathered among the wicked, you will have a desire correspondingly to be gathered to Christ and to his people. Well then, gather not my soul with sinners. And this word gather is very illustrative of extremely solemn matters. When we think of the word gathering or gather, many things come to our minds, and these things can be used to illustrate what the psalmist is speaking of here. To gather means to come into union with. It's you coming to associate with and to assimilate. Matthew Henry says, association begets assimilation. If you associate with a certain group of people, it's not long, human nature being what it is, that we will become like that group of people. Association begets assimilation. And you may think of it of armies gathering. They gather to a standard. They gather to a leader and to a commander. They're mustered. The call goes out. Are they going to gather to this standard or are they not? Are they going to gather to another standard? And so it is spiritually. The call of the gospel comes forth. And those who are effectually called by the Holy Spirit, they're drawn irresistibly to the standard, the banner of truth, to the banner of love that is over the church of God. He gives his people a banner that is displayed because of the truth. Ah, but if we're not gathered to that banner, dear friends, what banner are we gathered to tonight? What standard are we gathering to? We're following the ways of sin. We're following the ways of the world. We're following the ways of the inclination of our own heart. We're being gathered to sinners. We're gathering to sinners in our desires. We're gathering to sinners in our ways. If we are continuing not to gather it to Christ. And think of the whole world as two great camps. There's the devil's camp and there's the Lord's camp. And that's a scriptural picture. You have the hosts, for example, in Revelation, gathered round the church of God, Gog and Magog, gathering around the holy city. And the devil would gather you to himself for all eternity. The devil would gather you away from conviction of sin. The devil would gather you away from salvation. The devil would gather you away from serious thoughts about the word of God. The devil would gather up the word, the seed of the word. He would gather it up and take it away from you. Gather not my soul with sinners. We think also, when we think of the word gather, some of us, when we think of a gathering, we think of a gathering of sheep or of stock on the hill to be separated. To find out where they have wandered, the ones who have wandered, to bring them back, to apportion them to their true owners, that they're, what would happen to them that year would be whether they're going to be kept, whether they're going to be sold, whatever, whether for the slaughter or whether they're whatever. That's a scriptural picture. Do we not have the picture in Matthew chapter 25 of the shepherd gathering the sheep and the goats and separating between them? All the nations of the world shall be gathered to Christ's throne at the great day, and the sheep shall be on the right hand, and the goats shall be on the left. What a solemn gathering that will be. And you will be there, dear friend, and I will be there. And what hand, what side will you be on in that day? If you've never been concerned with the reality of what is in this prayer, gather not my soul with sinners, then you are heading for the left hand. You're heading to be among the goats. And then we have in Matthew chapter 13 the parable of the tares among the wheat. And that's speaking of a gathering again at the end of the world. It's speaking of the end of this life and the end of this age and the end of this world. It's speaking of the Lord's people being gathered by the angels, the elect from the four winds. And they're going to be gathered into Christ. They're going to be gathered into the barn, heaven at last. But the tares, the enemy has sown among the wheat. Where are they going to be gathered? They're going to be bound and they're going to be cast into the fire. Oh, what a dreadful gathering that will be, where the angels of God will sever the righteous from the wicked. In that day you shall discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Ah, is it any wonder the psalmist is saying then, in view of the solemnity and the significance of this term to gather in Scripture, gather not my soul with sinners. Now, sinners, we must say a few words about that dreadful word, a word that you and I are very well familiar with and have been from our youth. But oh, what a dreadful word it is No matter how many times you hear it, it never, if we were truly understand it, it would never lose the awfulness of what is implied and is meant by the term to be a sinner. The word, the particular word, and the Bible uses lots of different words to speak of sin. The particular idea behind this word is that of missing the mark, that of coming short of the standard that God has set. That's the very heart of what the Bible speaks about sin, that it is coming short of the glory of God as expressed in his holy law. Sin is the transgression of the law. It's breaking through the bonds that God has set for us, or it's coming short of the standard that God requires of us. And that is what is spoken of here. Sinners, those who have no concern to be living according to the standards of God's word. Gather not my soul with sinners. He speaks of sinners in this short psalm in numerous ways. And he speaks of them there in verse 4, for example, as vain persons. Vain persons. If you're not aiming, and if I'm not aiming, to glorify God through obedience to his holy law, conformity to his will, then our lives are vain. You cannot have a life that is meaningful and purposeful and fulfilling without glorifying God. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. It's impossible for your life to be anything other than empty and fruitless and miserable at last, if you continue as a transgressor of the law. Have you learned that, dear friend? Have you written vanity over everything that is under the sun, without God and without his blessing? Everything you desire, my dear young friend, everything you're looking towards to give you happiness in this life, if you haven't got the Lord, if you haven't got the blessing of the Lord and the grace of the Lord, it's all vain, it's all empty. It's an empty pursuit. Everything, your studies, your career, everything you're looking towards, your friendships, all the possessions you might have and might hope to have, it's all empty. You're a vain person. You're living a vain and worldly and wicked life if you haven't got the blessing of the Lord. With vain persons. Oh, what an empty life is a Christless life. What are you aiming at in life, friend, if you're not aiming at the glory of God? Nothing but self and vanity and ruin. Vain persons. That's what the multitude of this world are. It's an empty, vain, perishing life. It's an empty, vain, and perishing world. Oh, what a dreadful thing to be an empty, vain, perishing sinner tonight. Neither will I go in with dissemblers. Dissemblers. What's a dissembler? Someone that can tell a lie to suit their circumstances as they think. Someone that is not sincere. Someone who can tell half-truths. Someone who can deceive, seek to deceive others. Ah, well, have you learned in your conscience as a sinner before God that you may endeavour to deceive others, and you may very well deceive yourself for a considerable portion of time, but there will be no deceiving of God, friend, in eternity, and there is no deceiving of him now. To dissemble is to pretend. Oh, the Lord sees through every pretense in your heart and mine, and we're full of it. Hypocrisy, deceit, human nature is full of it. Shams, formality, The psalmist abhors it. And if you abhor it, friend, it's because you found it in yourself. Have you found this dishonesty and this love of falsehood in your own heart? The way of truth they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. See, if we had the fear of God before our eyes, we would be strictly honest in our dealings with him and with others and with ourselves. Satan is the father of lies and therefore the murderer of souls because he abode not in the truth. And that's how he'll murder your soul, by keeping you away from the truth and the truth from you. Then it speaks of the congregation of evildoers. And that's a very wide and all-embracing description of sinners, is it not? The congregation of evildoers, anywhere where sinners are gathered together in groups to congregate, to practice evil, whatever it may be. We often think of these words when we think of the public house. We're not to be among wine-bibbers and riotous eaters of flesh. We're not to sit with evildoers and keep company with them in their evil practices. So these words apply to many, many events where evil is perpetrated. Think of the vast crowds who go to sporting arenas. Think of the blasphemy. Think of the swearing. Think of the idolatry of man. Think of the godlessness and the blasphemous talk that is when tens of thousands or thousands of people are gathered together, and then extend it to all those who are sitting and watching it on screens at home. They are part of that congregation as well in that sense, morally. They're joined with sinners in that. And therefore we should shun these things. They have an appeal, they have an alluring power. But oh, gather not my soul with sinners in these things. Professional sport has been a ruination. It's been one of the greatest idols to destroy souls in our nation, in previous and in this current generations. It's been godly discerning ministers traced much of the decline of true religion among working men in Scotland to the popularity of football. The lack of seriousness among working men in Scotland can very, very largely be attributed to the rise of professional sport. We must shun these things, friend, however attractive they may be to the flesh. Gather not my soul with sinners. And all the other vanities and immoralities and wickedness that are set before us in society, in the media, in entertainment, to destroy your soul and mine. Gather not my soul with sinners. A very needful prayer. There's the bribery. There's the mischief. The mischief there is we would tend to underestimate the weightiness of that word by the word mischief. It's crime. Crime is the idea. Deep-dyed sin of a very, very solemn and dreadful nature. Wickedness in high places, the wicked walking on every side when vile men are high in place. That's our day. That's our generation. And if you have the prayer, gather not my soul with sinners, or you will abhor the corruption and the wickedness and the ungodliness that characterizes this nation and this generation from the highest echelons of society down to the lowest. It's full of wickedness. Gather not my soul with sinners. Is this not a very needful prayer? Is this not a prayer that you and I urgently need to pray and to pray continually? Do not gather my soul with sinners now in my desires. May I not be joined to them in what they delight in. The things of the world have an appeal to our nature. And it will only be grace that enables us to overcome that. But think of the end, friend. Gather not my soul with sinners. Let me not take the part of sinners. When there comes to be a controversy between the world and godliness, may I be found on the right side of it. That's part of the prayer. Gather not my soul with sinners. May my thinking be directing me in the way of godliness, in the way of peace, in the way of holiness. May I not be going astray and aside to the right hand or to the left. Gather not my soul with sinners in any way that would hinder the salvation of my soul. Yes, you must be in the world. You must meet worldly people. You must be in the company of worldly people often enough. But do you desire it, friend? Do you desire it? Do you relish it? Do you not feel the danger of it? Do you not feel that worldly company is a great snare? It can hinder you. You have to be very careful of your speech, of your thoughts, of your actions. As he says in Psalm 39, that he would bridle his tongue in the presence of the wicked. It's not that you don't have a desire for their salvation and a desire to be able to speak good to them and do them good. But you know how, with the vanity of your own heart, how quickly that you would go astray in the ways of sin if you begin to delight even in things that the world thinks are innocent and innocuous. It won't be long before you will begin it more and more to desire the ways of the world and then the ways of sin. We have great need of this prayer every day in substance. Gather not my soul with sinners. Well, if there's to be strict separation in your desires and in the way that you live, in the way you speak, in the way you dress, in the way you conduct yourself, not just before the eyes of the world, but before the eyes of the Lord, and in your own house, that must be there, friend. Come out from among them and be separate. Touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, saith the Lord God Almighty. What fellowship hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Now you see, if we are gathered with sinners here in our desires and in our activities, whatever our profession may be, then we will be gathered with them at death and in eternity. That's really what the psalmist is praying for, ultimately. May I not be gathered with them in the day of the great gathering. There'll be a great gathering, as we've already said, and he is abhorring the idea of being gathered with the sinners of this world. Even sinners themselves who are on their way to a lost eternity sometimes will give expression to sentiments that would make you think that they realize the awfulness of what is ahead of them. That's why Balaam said, "Let me die the death of the righteous." He had no grace, but he knew that to die the death of the wicked was dreadful. And he knew that to die the death of the righteous was absolutely essential. And you may be saying that tonight, friend. Let me die the death of the righteous. Let me be a converted person when I die. Let me be safe for eternity when I pass away from this world. Maybe you're saying that, young friend. Give me the world now. Give me religion tomorrow. Well, as Bishop Ryle says, tomorrow is the devil's day. Tomorrow is the devil's day. No, your prayer must be now. Gather not my soul with sinners. I do not know when I'm going to go into eternity. No one here is too young to pass into eternity. And therefore, what will happen if your soul is gathered with sinners when you leave this world? You'll be gathered among the wicked. You'll be with the devil and his angels forever. And nothing can be more dreadful than that. Everything that made the world pleasant will be gone. Everything that made the company of the wicked so pleasant, the company of the ungodly, so entertaining, so alluring. Their wit, their fashions, their entertainments, their free and easy ways. How appealing that is to the young. How appealing it is to the carnal mind. That will all be gone forever, friend. Everything that made even ungodly souls pleasant, civil, upright citizens in this world, good neighbors, good doctors, good nurses, good members of society, good family members, good friends, all that's going to go. And will you be gathered with the wicked in a lost eternity? For as you die, so will you be forever. Disappointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. Well, this is a very urgent prayer, surely. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men. The blood guiltiness of sin, the blood guiltiness of perishing in sin, the blood of souls, the blood of your own soul and the blood of the souls of your companions in sin. What a dreadful thing to be a ringleader in sin. What a dreadful thing that another would go to hell because of your sinning. Now in the prophecy of Jeremiah, and in chapter 2, the people of Jerusalem were holding out that they were innocent. They weren't as sinful as Jeremiah and the godly prophets were telling them. Chapter 2, verse 34. Also in thy skirts is found the blood of the souls of the poor innocents. I have not found it by secret search, but upon all these it was evident that the blood of souls was upon them, the blood of innocent souls, blood of little children, no doubt, and that's in our generation, more than any other generation. Yet thou sayest, because I am innocent, surely his anger shall turn from me. But this is what the Lord says. Behold, I will plead with thee, because thou sayest, I have not sinned. Friend, we extenuate our sin. We extenuate the blood guiltiness of our sin. We minimize it. We pretend to forget about it. But when the Lord pleads with you in judgment, there will be no minimizing of the awfulness of being a sinner and of being gathered with sinners in eternity. Now we must come to the other side of the matter. And that is this, that the soul who is gathered to Christ has been gathered by free and sovereign grace in a day of power. Out of the lands he gathered them, from north, south, east and west. And that is a wonderful thing. If you have ever been concerned not to be gathered with sinners, you would then correspondingly be concerned to be gathered to Christ and to his people. You cannot really have the one without the other. To shun the company of the wicked alone would not do any good for eternity. But to desire the company of the godly and to desire the salvation of Christ, that's what's implied here. If you have this prayer, gather not my soul with sinners. Unto him shall the gathering of the people be. He can gather your soul. He can draw you with cords of love and the bands of a man. He can draw you powerfully, irresistibly, effectually to receive salvation. He has mighty power to save. He is able to save to the uttermost those who've gone to the uttermost in sin. There's a very precious passage in Isaiah chapter 56 where the eunuch and the stranger are complaining that they have no place in the church of God. They'll never be gathered among the people of God. They're saying that they're dry trees and that they're outcasts. Yeah, but this is what the Lord says concerning those who have this fear. The Lord God, which gathereth the outcasts of Israel, saith, yet will I gather others to him beside those that are gathered unto him. The Lord is able to gather those who desire to flee from the company of the wicked and the ways of the wicked and the ways of wickedness and sin that they find in their own souls. And the Lord is able to gather you, friend. He's able to save you. That is what he has done for his people. That's what he's doing for his people. Gather my soul to Christ. Let me be flocking to his banner. Let me be fleeing from the wrath which is to come. Let me be fleeing to his righteousness to cover me. Let me be fleeing it to him it time and time and time again to keep me from going back, to hold up my goings. Is that your prayer, friend? It goes hand in hand with the prayer that we have here in the text. Hold up my goings, Lord, me guide in those thy paths divine, so that my footsteps would not slide out of those ways of thine. May I not go back to the ways of sinners. Now, to be gathered to Christ, how are you going to be gathered to Christ? We've said the Holy Spirit must work effectually, and you're to pray for that. As we were trying to say on Sabbath morning. But when a soul is being gathered to Christ, they come in the way that we have set before us in our psalm here. It says in verse 6, I will wash mine hands in innocency, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord. The hands full of sin, full of defilement. The priests in the Old Testament worship, as you know, they had to wash their hands, they had to wash their feet in the laver. They couldn't do their holy duties around the sanctuary in the worship of God. They couldn't draw near the altar. They couldn't pray, sacrifice. They could do nothing unless they were cleansed. And the altar there and the washing in the hands in innocency, that's a picture of the laver and the altar in the Old Testament tabernacle. There was no approach to God but by the altar and by the laver. You can't approach the Lord without washing and without forgiveness, without cleansing and without atonement, without the work of the Holy Spirit and without the finished work of Christ, without the sacrifice of Calvary and without the washing of regeneration, without justification and without sanctification. They're always together, the blood and the water. That's the way you can approach, friend. That's the new and the living way that the Saviour has opened up, whereby you would not be gathered with sinners, that you would be divorced from your own sin, that your sin would not be gathered upon you in time or in eternity, that you would not be gathered to the standard of the devil and the ways of the world. It's only by coming through the appointed channel, through the blood and through the work of the Holy Spirit, that you and I will be delivered, and this prayer will be answered on your behalf. Gather not my soul with sinners. And then he goes on to say in verse 11, but as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregations will I bless the Lord. If you are coming through the finished work of Christ to God, if you are putting all your hope and confidence in his mercy through the blood of the everlasting covenant, that's because the Holy Spirit is drawing. The Holy Spirit is revealing Christ in his fullness. The Holy Spirit is showing you more and more of your need of that blood. The Holy Spirit is sanctifying the soul on the basis of that blood. They're always coming, to whom coming is unto a living stone. They're on the sure foundation, the even place. We're coming to God on the sure foundation of the finished work of Christ. And that is how this continual desire, redeem me and be merciful unto me. Gather not my soul with sinners, but rather redeem me and show me thy mercy continually. That is the even place, friend. That's the only standing place in the congregation of the Lord in time or in eternity. If you're not gathered with sinners, you must be gathered with Christ. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. You will gather the elect from north, south, east, and west. And they shall sit down in the kingdom of heaven with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Oh, what a gathering that will be. The gathering of the elders, spreading abroad his most renowned fame throughout the endless ages of eternity and glory. Do you not desire to be gathered to Christ? Take up this prayer for Jesus' sake, friend. Gather not my soul with sinners. Gather me not with my own sins or the sins of others. Gather me not with the world or with the devil, but gather me to thy people, and gather me to the blessed Saviour, and gather me to thyself at last. May he bless his word to us.